So welcome back to Witches DNA 101. So I am continuing on this long trek, this long journey in metaphysics, the paranormal and witchcraft. Okay, so I spoke to you guys in the first episode in this series about my gifts with connecting, my earliest gifts with connecting with my spirit guides and being a psychic medium. Now, there's two different types of mediums. There's a psychic medium and there's a medium. I'm going to explain the difference. A medium is someone who is able to tap into the spirit world. They're able to make that connection for you. They're able to make that connection. They're able to talk to hear. Just as anybody might be able to hear, if a spirit wants to say something to you, they might hear a phantom voice or something. So they're able to do those basic things. Okay. Getting a medium to help you contact someone, contact your loved one or someone you want to contact, it's just asking someone with who knows how to tap into that. That's like hiring a plumber. You could do the work yourself if you knew how, but you hire a plumber because they're skilled in that and they know the tools of the trade. Now, with a psychic medium taps into the spirit world with their psychic abilities. So you're going to get a lot from them. You might get more than what you ask for, more than what you bargain for, because they're able, like me, I am a psychic medium. So when clients ask me to tap into someone that they want to contact, they're going to get a lot. They get a lot. They get interaction. Because I can hear them, I can see them, and they speak to me because I am clairaudient, I'm clairvoyant. I have a lot of psychic abilities that come into play. Now, how that differs from being a medium is that a medium does not work with those psychic abilities. And it's not, psychic abilities is not something that you can put on like a coat and take off when you want. It's something that is always there. So when I'm doing a psychic reading, when you ask me for a psychic reading, a psychic medium reading, you're going to get both my mediumship and you're going to get my psychic abilities at the same time. It's a package deal. Okay, being a medium is not a package deal. Being a psychic medium is a package deal. Okay, so I think I told you guys a little bit about how when I was like a young teen or, I was little, my guys would just kind of just nonchalant, matter-of-factly point out to someone that they were going to die. And that is what would happen. I think I did go over this with you guys in the last podcast. So in my, when I picked up my, when I picked my mediumship abilities back up, okay, because I had prayed them away. Now, you cannot pray your gifts, your psychic gifts away. You cannot brush it under a rug, not even metaphorically. Okay, because it's always going to be there. It's like being a witch. Because when you, if you are a real, authentic witch, it's in your bloodline. It chooses you. It's not something that you decide you want to do, you want to become. It's not like, well, I want to become a beauty pageant contester, or I want to become a wife, or I want to become a mom or a dad or something like that. No matter what objections you might have about being a witch, it really doesn't matter, because it was you were chosen to be a witch before you were born. Before you even thought of, before you were even a molecule, a cell in your mother's womb, you were already chosen for that, for this role. So, oh, I got so deep into that. Let's see, what was I talking about? So, when you are notified, I guess you could say, that you are a witch, some, you know, people find out, they start getting clues and hints at different stages along life. But you'll notice that there are just certain things that you can't shake. Certain abilities that you have that you can't shake. Some things are just so easy for you. Okay? So it's like, and you might even go through some really, really dramatic periods in your life. You will definitely have moments of things that you cannot explain. You will be interested in the occult. And no, being a Scorpio, anything does not mean you're a witch, okay? It's not based on your, being a witch is not based on your zodiac sign, okay, at all. So I've heard people mention on social media that, oh, if you're a Scorpio ascendant, that means you're a witch. No, it does not. It does not mean you're a witch. Now, well, okay, I kind of take that back. Not where is Scorpio, okay? Because there is one thing in your chart that can tell if you are really a witch. And that is, it's in your Vedic or the sidereal chart, okay, not the tropical one, the Vedic, aka sidereal, or sidereal, aka Vedic chart, and that is in your eighth house. So it does have something to do with Scorpio. So it's in your eighth house, and that is having Lilith in your eighth house. No matter what sign, no matter what zodiac sign Lilith is in. Okay, if Lilith is in your eighth house, that is a very real sign that you have, that you were chosen at the, you know, before you were born to be a witch. I have Lilith in my eighth house, and my eighth house is also in the sign of Cancer. If you have your eighth house in the sign of Cancer, that is a telltale sign that you are a psychic medium. You might have all kinds of dramatic things going on that you can't explain. Another indication in your birth chart, in your natal chart, that you are highly gifted is having Neptune on your ascendant. Okay, conjunct your ascendant and or in your first house on your it has to be conjunct your ascendant. So what that means is that you have very dramatic, very out of this world experiences with the spiritual world, with the paranormal, that will blow people's minds, things that people have never heard of, things you can't explain. Like you have real conversations with angels. Like you're sitting down looking at an angel having a conversation. Just all kinds of amazing things and tapping into the paranormal. The paranormal comes to you. It's like it follows you everywhere you go, especially if you have this combination, because I have my Neptune conjunct my ascendant, and my Lilith is in my eighth house in the sign of Cancer, and my Neptune is conjunct my ascendant in the sign of Scorpio, as well as my moon. And so everywhere I go, it's like the paranormal follows me. It's something that I do. It's just natural and normal to me as breathing. So, when working with a psychic medium, what I tell my clients is sometimes it's okay, but sometimes I can't catch them before they do. But I like to tell them not to give me any information, because I will verify their loved one. They will verify themselves, and then I will give them the information for them to confirm. And I'm telling you, I have a 100% success rate. I have never been wrong, except for, well, I have a 99.99999% success rate. The one time I got something wrong, and this was probably middle part of last year. And I've been doing this for my whole life. I've been a medium my whole life. I am in my 50s now, my whole life. And, what was I just saying? So, on social media, when you get into these psychic groups and stuff, you start seeing, like, sometimes you see how people, they have different ways that they get into their groove or whatever, their vibe, before they do a reading. I've never done that. I've never had the opportunity to do that, because all I do is make a simple request to my guides and to Divine Universe, as God, Universe, for accuracy to make sure that I'm respectful and that I am giving accurate information as I can. And mind you, they come to me. So, I mean, I don't really have to ask, but out of respect, because your guides, they don't really step in unless you ask them to. So, I love asking them, because it's a sign of, it's a show of respect. Because you do know you do not run or control your guides, nor the angels, nor your ancestors, for that matter. Because especially your guides and your angels, they don't answer to you. They answer to the higher realm. Okay? So that's where they take their orders from, okay? But they're there to help you, to assist you. So they're already there in that regard. So when I ask for their assistance, they're already there for that. Okay, so it's common to find people like they like, I light like white candles sometimes when I'm getting ready to do a reading. It was something that I get into just a little bit, but that might be like 10-15% of my readings that I've ever done. And so it's not often at all that I do that. But I was doing some meditation, you know, like really trying to tap in to my guides, which were already there. And so, you know, because everybody was like doing, I'm like, you know, I never really got into that. Let me try getting into that. So I did all that, got myself ready, did my whole, you know, feeling the vibe thing. And I did a reading for a lady, and she's like, I have no idea who you read for. That was completely wrong. First time I've ever had that happen. And it was no coincidence that that coincided with me going outside of my norm and doing unnecessary stuff. I didn't need to do that because there was nothing wrong with what I was already doing. What I was already doing was right for me. So I'm saying this to tell y'all that you gotta, if you're getting into this, whether you're a medium or a psychic medium, try to find something that's right for you. Let's talk about one of the scariest instances that I've ever experienced with being a psychic medium, and that would be because I read voices. I'm an energy reader, so I read, and so I don't really need I don't need a picture. Working with pictures is something that is fairly new to me, probably in the past 2-3 years. I can work with the name of a person. I can work with a person's voice, tapping into their loved one, tapping into them. I can work, you know, I don't really need a lot. And so, I read like homes, like somebody would send me a picture of their house or their home or a room in their house or several pictures, and they'll ask me what I feel, and then I will let them know. Well, in this one instance, there was this guy, and he was just really agitated. I'm talking about the spirit was extremely agitated, and I really don't like talking about it even now because I don't want to rile that energy back up. But he did not belong to the house. He did not live there prior. He was not related to anybody there. But he was just pissed. He was like agitated. You know when you're just so frustrated and agitated? And this was up in their attic. And there were spirits all in this house. Okay, so none of them were related. There was two parents, a mom, a dad, and I think it was a little child that loved to look out the window in the attic. And they had some, and the family that lived there had some like furniture up there in the attic that they weren't using. And this guy loved sitting on this sofa. And he was so agitated that he would move from either side of the sofa. And he got even, and he, what caused him to be, his agitation to just go through the roof was that I was looking in on him. He did not like that. I could see him. I could see what he was doing, and that agitated him. So he'd go from one end of the sofa to the other end, trying to get me to, you know, stop looking in at him. And so all this time I'm telling the reader, and what I do is that I keep my my client. I mean, I keep my clients informed of everything that's going on. And so I was telling her this, and he just had his very, I don't want to say depressed, but mean, bullyish energy. That's it, bully. A bully-like energy about him. And I could feel that, I could feel him breathing down on the people that live there. And he showed me him breathing down, like just standing still and stiff, like he's not going to move. And he like challenged their energy with his. And he just like a bully, because he knew that he could do that to them. And so I asked my client, I was like, do you ever, in this section of the hallway, because she sent me several pictures, I was like, do you ever feel somebody, a presence, like a thick presence there, like you can't breathe, and it feels like somebody's breathing down on you? And she confirmed, she said yes. Well, not, and this was actually a reading that I did at a nightclub. I was online, and that's where the session was taking place. She was sending me pictures online in a social media group. And I was actually at the club. And I have a bad habit of just, especially when I'm bored trying to find something to do, I see if somebody needs help. So I tap into the social media profile, do my social media thing, and groups and see who needs help. And this was last year, around last summer. No, I take that back. This was not last summer. This was the summer of 2019. Yeah, because 2020, I didn't go anywhere. So it was summer of 2019. 2018 or 2019, one of the two. Anyway, so I had a lot going on around me, a lot of energy around me, and yet I could still tap in to this, to her home, her, and the energies in the home. And so I proceeded to inform her about what was going on and what I felt from why he was there. And, I directed her to a friend of mine who is amazing at clearing houses, clearing demonic entities and energies from houses. And I gave her instructions on what to do until she could contact the lady and contact my friend who is, I'm not going to mention her name. I'll ask her if she would like for me to, because I like to respect people. So I'll ask her about that. But she's done a lot of amazing work for me. Going back to even when I try to pray away my abilities, you know, I was scared. I was like running scared in my aunt. I mean, mediumship is something that is no stranger in my family. But I didn't want to, if I talked to them, I was afraid they was going to talk back to me. So I just was always afraid to try to handle something myself. And so she gave me a lot of confidence. When, as she helped me with things, it's just like, I would just contact her about everything. And then it was like, okay, there is going to come a time when I can deal with this myself. Because some things were just like ridiculous. Like, okay, you got to handle that. And she knew I could handle that. She knew I could. So some things she would just be like, okay. And so eventually I was like, you know what? I can do this myself. And it stopped being scary to me. It stopped being so scary to me. So I have really grown even still. You're always going to grow. You never stop growing. If you stop growing, then there is nothing left for you. Because this whole world, this whole universe is about learning. So, I mean, you can't not stop learning. Even if you think you're not, even if you think you reached the pinnacle where you can't learn anymore, there was still something to learn. You just haven't uncovered it, or you just haven't seen it for yourself, what you're learning. But anyway, so, let's see, so after I did that reading, I started noticing things moving around in my home and stuff like that. And I read energy, so I knew it was him. And so I contacted my friend and she fixed that for me. She got rid of him for me. But, my mom, she's amazing at spiritual warfare. Amazing. But even with that, I was still scared of some things. There were some things that I wasn't, like seeing spirits. That would freak somebody out, but it won't freak me out. I'm not afraid of that. It's just that I just don't want, back then, I didn't want to hold a like I'm talking to y'all, I didn't want to hold a conversation like that. I can hold a conversation psychically. There's a difference. In a psychic sense, it's something that happens automatically. I don't have a choice. So there's no time for me to be afraid. There's no room for me to be afraid. But if I sit up, if I see a spirit and I decide, oh, I'm going to talk to that spirit and that spirit talks back, that's something different. Okay? So that's how I see it. That's something different. Speaking of spirits, the scariest, and I'm not going to say scary because it didn't scare me. I had to been around, I was less than 10 years old, maybe 7 or 8. And I think I told you guys this in the last podcast. I think I did. About my mom going next door to the club. And my family, I have a large family. And so they would all meet up, brothers, sisters, in-laws and stuff like that, meet up for a little bit, you know, get together, party a little bit, then they continue over next door. My mom bartended. And it was a American Legion. I don't remember the post number. But my mom, it's customary in my family and a lot of families where I'm from to gift your older relatives with meats for like their birthday or whatever. And this year, I think it was winter time. It had to be because my mom had on her, she got herself a meat. And so she had put that on and she was always dressed to the nines. She was getting ready to leave out the door. And this is an older house, over 100 years old. And so we had those steep stairs that went straight up and a long hallway going to the front door, and you could see yourself in the front door, and it had like window cutouts so you could see yourself. And so, as she was walking, I was right behind her 'cause I admired her a lot. And so I was right behind her and she stopped. Do you know me? My mom, she's just full of energy. So for her to just stop right there, at first I thought she forgot something, but then she just She didn't move. She just stayed there. And she had this, I mean, she was really still, like almost like she wasn't breathing. And so I asked her what was wrong a few times before she told me. She was like, I see myself. And I was like, yeah, Mom, I see you. No, I didn't say I see you too. I said, yeah, Mom, you see yourself in the door? And she was like, yes, baby, I see myself. And I was like, but what? And she's like, she told me that she could see her reflection. But the weird thing about it is that her reflection did not have the mink coat on that she was wearing. Didn't have a coat on at all. So she was looking at her reflection, looking at herself. She was dressed with her coat on, a big, thick mink coat. She was looking right at herself, dressed the same way she was dressed, except what she was seeing did not have on her mink coat. And so that didn't scare me. Another thing that happened that did scare me and my sister is that everybody was gone. This is another night. Everybody was gone. It was me and my sister. We was listening to the radio. And she was upset because she couldn't go to a concert to see her favorite performer. I think it was Ralph Tresvant. I think that's who it was. This is back in the 80s, I want to say. 80s or late 70s. And so on top of the steep stairs, there's this really flimsy, lightweight fabric tapestry of Jesus praying on the mountain. And it's so lightweight that if a breeze came by, then it would just, you know, it would go all kinds of wonky ways because it had a wooden frame, but that wooden frame was not put together well, so it didn't hold its form against an opposing wind or something. It was really light, and so that always stayed up there. So we was listening to the radio, then all of a sudden we heard something that sounded like a bomb going off. And just right now I get nervous a little bit just thinking about it. But it sounded like a bomb going off in the hallway. It was like, what the hell was that? We didn't say what the hell. It was like, what the heck was that? So we got up and we inched our way, creeping our way over to the hallway because we know how the house was. Lo and behold, that big boom was the Jesus picture. Something, and I'm pretty sure I know it was an entity that had snatched it from the top of the stairwell and threw it down to the bottom of the stairwell. But remember, I said this thing is so lightweight. It shouldn't have made a noise. Maybe a light shuffling or something like that. But no, this sounded like a big-ass brick or something, like something extremely heavy hit the ground. And it hit with force. So, I got a lot of paranormal experiences to tell you guys. So, I do have my Facebook page. I want to remind you guys of that again. It's Witches DNA 101. It's on Facebook. And I will be I might even do readings there also, like pendulum readings. I did a pendulum. My daughter's pregnant, and I did a pendulum reading for her maybe a couple months ago. And she's about 4 months now, so she's about 1.5 to 2 months. She's about 2 months pregnant. So I did a pendulum reading on her, where I did a makeshift pendulum with a ring and a string, the way my older sister taught me, my other sisters when we were little. And I just took a, it doesn't matter, any type of string, and I put it through a ring. You can use anything, really. You could turn anything into a pendulum. And then I held it. I cleansed it and I charged it first. And the way that you do that, there's all kinds of ways you can cleanse your pendant. You can run it under running water. Running water, flowing water is important. If you want to do it that way, you can use sage. You can use, you can leave it out in the sun, under moonlight, leave it under a full moonlight cycle. So like from waning to get rid of any negativity, through waxing to bring in positive energies and all that good stuff. And you can even sleep with it under your pillow, and to charge it, you can like sleep with it on your pillow. You can keep it on your person. And then also when you're charging it, you want to make sure that it's programmed correctly. And what I mean by that is that you're going to make sure that the pendulum is only answering questions from your higher, your higher self, your God self, your God universe, divine energies. Whoever it is that you, that is your source. And so in ways to do that is to, first you want to make sure that you set what the answers are going to be. So you ask it to show you a yes. Ask it to show you a no. Ask it to show you a maybe. You tell it that you don't want anything evil, negative, or anything like that to, you don't want your pendulum to seek answers from anything like that. And then you ask it if it understands. Give it a yes or, like, give me a yes or a no. Do you understand? And then it should say yes. And then when you say, are there any negative energies that are around this pendant or around me at this time? Or are you being influenced by anything negative? And when you do that, watch which way it goes, left or right. And it should say no. It's not being influenced by anything negative. And so you want to keep doing that. And then you want to check back. You always, before you finish, want to go back and ask the questions again, just to make sure that there's no imposter spirits that are trying to make it seem like they're answering the questions correctly. And the way you know that there's that is that it will look like if it's going around a circle, it'll hesitate, like something is holding it back. I have a couple friends that I want you guys to look into, and their books. They I'm going to bring that to you guys next podcast. And by that time, I hope to have an answer as to whether or not I can tell you guys who my friend is that does work. I don't know if she still does it, but if she doesn't, then I can help. I might be able to help you guys figure some things out, okay? So... Let's see, is there anything else? Yes, visit my page, Mr. Flow. No, not Mystic Flow. Oh, my God. That is a page that I have, Mystical Flow. If you want psychic readings from me, mediumship, numerology, dream interpretation, pendulum, intuitive, I do all those. And so you can request a reading from me on my Facebook page, through my Facebook page, and my pricings are listed. Witches DNA 101, I will be posting on there also. So, you might want to come and check it out and see what's going on. Other than that, I will talk to you guys next podcast. Bye.